Amen. 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 You can be seated. Hallelujah. 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 If we were to leave now, I believe we'd be really blessed. Songs are not just songs. Songs are prophetic impartations to our heart. The worship I went to today, everything was so prophetic. Everything was so prophetic. You know, when we sing, we're receiving the impartation of God's presence and word into our lives. If you listen to the words, and then after that, we worshiped Him further, the hymn was also a prophetic word towards our soul. Everything this morning was so prophetic, a confirmation. I mean, literally, with the songs, the words, everything that was done this morning so far, God was really confirming what is put in my spirit for us. Amen?
Amen.
I want to let you know you are blessed.
Yes.
You are really blessed.
Yes.
You are really blessed.
Amen.
Wow. You are really blessed. I pray that the words that the Lord speaks to us will be permanent in our lives.
Amen.
This is not just teaching and preaching. This is what the Lord is saying, because we wait upon Him. Amen.
Amen.
So I pray this morning you'll be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me say a few things before we go into scriptures. Thank you, Lord. A few weeks ago, months ago, as I'm seeing the need for preparation for this season, I felt to activate the well in our place. And the people came, that they purged the well, they reactivated it, they set the well, and the well is functioning. Once they started pumping the water, they pumped out all the muds, cleaned out everything, and it was just cleaning and cleaning and cleaning until the water became very clear water, very clear, clear, crystal clear water. After the water was cleared, they said, the well is ready. But the man said, you know, you need to test the water, just to make sure it is safe for drinking, it is good for drinking, and it has no bacteria in it, or something that, these are fountains from the ground, but it's been an old well. So I applied for a test and called the people, the microbiology people. They came and took sample of the water, and they took it to their lab, and they tested it. After the testing, they passed the test. I said, the water is really good. Why am I saying that? If you look at that water from your natural eyes, it's very clean. It's very clear. I mean, they were just even drinking it, the people that did it. But why the test? Because there are some things we cannot see with our natural eyes. For example, like this virus. We can see with our natural eyes, but they are very deadly. If they get into your system, they can kill. Amen? So you test. That's one very important thing about testing. T-E-S-T-I, not your testing message. Amen?
Amen.
Another thought, just before we continue, When students wants to be, you want to be a computer person, you want to be an engineer, you want to be a business person, you have a desire in your heart. You want to be something. And you are taken to the place where you can be molded and shaped to become that thing. We call it school, isn't it?
Yes.
So we go to this school, and the school say, "You really want to be this?" He said, "Yes." So they start training you, giving you instructions, teaching you, going through various things. As you go through them, they believe you're faithful. They believe you're studying. They believe you really are serious. But they have to be sure, because they don't want to go by what they see, what they assume you come into class. They want to be sure that when you go out there, the integrity of their training is qualified. So, they take you to what they call what? Test. Examination. Amen? So, you go through this testing. And the testing, everybody has the same lecture, the same teacher, the same textbook, everything. Everybody has the same thing. But the test is to show if what they've been teaching you is being real to you. You understand it. And of course, they do gradings. Amen?
Amen.
So say this A, this that. But sometimes people fail the test. And if you are still determined to be that thing that you desire, to make it, it doesn't matter how many tests you fail. But if you keep on, eventually you pass the test.
Yes.
But the question is, you cannot become that thing without going through that test.
Mm.
The failure is not the key, but the determination to become that thing. Because he said the righteous can fall several times, but... they will not be defeated. Amen. So there is a need for test. Amen. Without testing, you don't really know if what you're looking for in something is there. There's something about Christianity. Christianity means Christ-like people. There's something that God said is put in His Son Jesus. Something that God Himself has from Old Testament to New Testament. That without these ingredients, this character of God, you are not a Christian. Without these characteristics of God, God says there is no connection. We know love. We can talk, you know, love is God, is deep. But how do you know you have love? How do you know? Everybody says, "I love you, I love you, I love you." But love can be tested. So how can your love be tested so that you really know you have the ingredients called love? Amen?
Amen.
What is it that when you are tested as a believer, you can truly say, "I love God. I really belong to God." There's one major test in life. There are so many, but there's one that God says every trial we go through is based upon this. On the testing of the word of God, the love of God, is called our faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. James says, rejoice when you fall into what? Diverse testings, trials. He's not saying rejoice when you're going, when it's happening, but he's saying there is joy that you're tested. Because the end of the test will show you the fruit of who you are, what you're being tested for. I mean, you don't want somebody to graduate and says, "I'm a doctor," and he's been cheating. Let take that your child or your mom or your sister or your brother to a doctor that wasn't trained. That's suicide. Amen? But what happens to us when somebody says, I'm an engineer, and we go to graduation, they're throwing these caps. We are what? Celebrating. That's rejoicing. Why? Because he's come through tests and he's graduated. And now you can say, that desire I have, I am now. Using that as an example. Without testing, you can be under deception. You can be under assumption of something that is not real. Without testing, that well water could be poisonous. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I really want water, I take the water, and the same water kills me because of no testing. Anything that is not tested cannot be confirmed to be that thing. So, the message of the Lord for you is called the faith test. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen!
Amen!
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Sometimes God wants to take people to war to do some extraordinary things, like he did with Gideon. 32,000 people says, yes, Lord! Amen?
Amen?
A lot of people answer the call to go to all kinds of things until they are tested.
Mm-hmm.
Testing shows your heart, your diligence, your faithfulness, your commitment. So, 32,000, God said to Gideon, you see all this, you're excited, but the outward appearance can be deceiving. Zeal can be deceptive. Let us walk these people through a test because I want faith. I'm looking for faith. They went through this test that God put, simple test, and only 300 graduated. Out of 32,000 people, 300 graduated. So, the Lord wants to talk to us today about faith text. Faith text is the test that makes you make it finally to heaven. The whole reason God created angels was not because he doesn't have enough servants. Angels went through a test also, and many of them failed, even in heaven. That's how Lucifer and his team fell. So God put man in this earth, and the people that God will take back out of this world, back to heaven, has to be tested. And the Bible says, everything from the fall of man to when we'll leave this world, even before, when each of us will leave, it says our faith. The very characteristics of love, faith works by love, the very thing that God uses, he says it's internal, faith, hope, and love. That faith is a characteristic of God's nature that has to be tested to make sure you are of God. So, James says, don't think it strange, Peter says. James says, rejoice that you are tested. When you're going through it, he says it's grievous. It's not comfortable. Nobody's happy going through trials. Say, but at the end, it yields the peaceable fruit. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when our faith is tested, it produces bitterness.
Mm, Jesus.
Like it happened to Esau.
Jesus.
So God says Esau wasn't of God.
Jesus.
Jacob was tested. Eventually, he produced righteousness. It was of God. So, without test, we don't really know who we are. So, everything from beginning to end has to be tested. Guess who God has chosen to test us? God has chosen the only thing that cannot make it to heaven. Again. So that when you pass that test, you make it to hell.
Amen.
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 God has chosen Satan to be the one to test us. Amen.
Amen.
People hear the word Satan, they are afraid. Satan has failed. And Satan became darkness, became death. And God knew from the fall of man, from Adam, the first man, that man cannot be able to survive his tricks and accept those who really draw close to him. So the end result is that God says, I will come myself. Because I'm the only one that created Satan. I'm the only one that can also throw him out and defeat him. So, God came in the form of man, the Word of God. And Jesus only is the only way, the truth, the only life, the only true Jesus, you can pass the test of life and make it back to the Father's heart, which is heaven. No other name, no other God, no other being on the face of the earth will ever escape Satan or win the victory apart from those who have Jesus. So to have Jesus is to receive him. And when you receive him, you receive part of him called the ingredients that makes God, God, faith. Amen? So he says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, without it, it's, everyone say what? Impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Meaning please God means to have real relationship with God. Because God is a spirit. God is spirit, is a word. And his word is a spirit. Without faith, it's written there, it's impossible to connect, to be a child of God. Amen?
Amen?
So now, God now gave us his nature, gave us his life. So he wants us to know that we are his children. And for us to be his children, he has to take us through the test of this world. Because all that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? And the pride of life. Now, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the victory over that. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, anyone that is born of God, anyone whosoever is born of God, has overcome the world. So he's talking about Jesus in you. Anyone that is born of God, born again, child of God, he's overcome the world. He's not saying, you won't go to trial. It's meaning you have God in you, you have the word, you have something in you that God in you will bring victory while you live in this world. Over the Jesus has overcome. He says, what is this victory? What is the characteristics? What is this? What gives us this victory? What is this victory that overcomes the world? He says, even our word, faith. 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 So, let me quickly read to you on the area of testing. Let's all open our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to look at a few scriptures today because this is a very important. By the time the Lord is through, you'll understand why. First Peter, read from chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. "Which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and I." Verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoice when you're born again. Though now, for a season," your little time here in this earth, "for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials or temptations." Now, he started explaining something about trials and faith. Verse 7, it says, "That the trying," or the trial of your what?
Faith.
F-A-I-T-H. "Be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried," what?
With fire.
That has been said over here. "Might be found unto what?
Praise
and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." God said in Luke 18, he's looking for faith in the earth. So, what is faith? It's many definitions, many expressions, many things, but today we want to look at the test of faith and what it produces, especially for this time we're living in. So Peter is, again, I used a few illustrations based on my experience with the water, but Peter again is saying, using something that the people can relate to. He says, "My brothers and sisters, Jesus, the God of our Father Jesus, has sent his Son to die for us. And through the death of his Son, has given us a new life. And this life is the divine nature of God. Is the nature, the life of God, is the victory of God over the earth. And we have it." He says, "This treasure is unspeakable." He was describing it. It was too much grammar, so it was, most time we just rushed through it. But he said, "Let me explain it to you in a language you can understand." He says, Gold, we all like gold. It's a perishable thing, but it's one of the most beautiful, priceless material in the earth. Gold, diamonds, all these things. He says, gold is precious, but gold is more precious and more precious and more glorious when it is purified. He says the purpose of purifying gold is to make it more precious, more glorious, more valuable. Amen? Amen. He said, how is gold purified? When you put it, what? In the fire. Why do you put it in the fire? I mean, you can explain that easily. You know that better than I do. He says you put it in the fire because why? The gold is hard. You need something that will be able to melt it. Something that will be able to melt it. Because in its hardness, there are things inside the gold that are impure. There are things inside the gold that are not the quality of the gold. There are things inside the gold that are not of the gold. And the only way to remove those things that are not of the gold is to put it through fire. So when you put it through fire, fire is not pleasant. Anything that exposes you is not pleasant. Anything that humbles you is not pleasant. So, it melts the gold. Amen? It melts the gold, and it says, the gold become now pure. How can something that is so beautiful, as it's saying, all that glitters is not gold? How can something that is shining look so much appears eventually not to be gold? Only when you put it through fire. You know the quality. So they put it to fire. So what happens? All this impurity, the things that are not really of faith, the things really that are not of gold, they begin to surface. They surface and surface. And you're like, oh my God, is this in me? Is this really in this shiny gold? And then they scoop it. And they scoop it and they bring it out. And then you have, now can say, this is gold. Amen?
Amen.
Testing. Peter said, testing of our faith. The trying of our faith is for a reason. If you read 2 Peter, he explains the things that come out. We say love. Love is not just empty. 1 Corinthians 13 defines love as endurance, faithful. I mean, it's like patience. It's, all these things don't happen overnight. That's not the nature of man. That's the nature of love. Love doesn't fail. Love doesn't give up. Love is not about self. So, in Romans chapter 8, Paul experienced love in a dimension. He says, nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. In this world, in the world to come, angels, death, persecution, famine, this. He defined love in a way in his life that describes that he has love. Because his faith, his love has been tested by faith. And it was purified. He said, nothing can separate me. I'm no more afraid of death. I'm not afraid of hunger. I'm not, because love is bigger than all that. It's God. So, unless gold is tested, you don't really know if it's gold. Amen? How many of you like to go buy something that shines and you get excited and you find that it's not gold? Amen? That's not good. Amen? God is looking for true Christians. And the only way he can find them is to test them. God is looking for people that think like him, look like him, that really has him. And the only way he can do it is to test him. Or else the world don't know where to go in times of trouble. The world out there is crying out, where are the sons of God? Where are Christians? Where are believers? Where are those people that God has put in the earth to save us? Where are they? Let them manifest. They are groaning for us. And God is saying, they will come after trials. So, faith. It's not words, it's demonstration. So in the last days of which we have entered into, I want to share with you about the move of God in the last days in regards to faith. One of the aspects of the move of God regarding to faith. That's why I want you to be ready to enjoy the ride. In the last days, the last days, as long as until the church leaves, up till the time the church is here, in these last days, and after the church leaves, there will be two predominant atmospheres of trial. God calls it the tribulation period and the great tribulation period. Let me put it to you this way. The trial and the great trying period. That's the last days. The purpose of it is because the tribulation period is to prepare a bride without spot or wrinkle for the bridegroom. When the bride leaves, then the great tribulation or the great trying period will be for those who rejected Christ. And those that are left, they will be so purified. And the Bible says, actually, they call them the great tribulation saints. Many of them will have to die for their faith. So, why tribulation, great tribulation? To reveal the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we have become so, the revelation of the move of God has been many times misinterpreted on just one direction. The glory of God is not about wind and fire and earthquake and thunder like Elijah was experiencing. The glory of God is not always a smoke burning in top of your head. It's not a halo shining around you. There are ways that God reveals His glory. The glory of the Lord is the revelation of faith in the nations of the earth. Let me give you a few understanding of the glory of God that attracts nations. In the days of Daniel, they were in Babylon. They were in the world. It wasn't about smoke and fire. The glory of God was revealed by the testimony of their faith. Daniel was asked not to. Daniel was a man, a church, a believer, an Israelite, and he was asked to defile God by compromising what God says they should not do. And sticking to what God says, that's your culture. And he was enticed by that he will have the best position in the world's business, king's cause. Daniel did not say, oh, I will not do it. No, I will not do it. Daniel said, test my faith. If I really believe in God, if I'm really a Christian, let's do it this way. God, I will do what you say I should do. And I will not eat this thing. Let my faith be tested and let my faith speak of your glory. He did not eat. The man said, that's a good deal. If you say you're a Christian, let's see what happens in 10 days. Daniel didn't eat and his team. And after 10 days, Daniel was more healthy. Daniel was more wise. Daniel was more vibrant. Every quality they wanted, Daniel excelled better than those of the world. And the man says, you're a Christian. Your faith has broken it. And he passed that test. Another test came, gradually. They said everybody must worship at the sound. He doesn't, who is going to see me? Who cares? As long as I have all that fills the eyes and all that the world has. I'm in my house. Who cares if I don't come? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't matter. I'll just, when they play that music, me and my family will just dance, worship, and nobody will just go. But unknown that they bow their knees to the image of another God in their heart. Even though they are living as Israelites. And it came to pass that they said, there are Jews here who says they are true Christians. And that means the Lord of their God and the ways of their God is contrary to what you are asking us to do. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Mishael, Azariah, and said, King, there's one thing we cannot compromise. We have a God that we worship. We will do everything to serve your kingdom, but we have a God we worship, and there are things He requires us to do. It's contrary to what you're asking. See, this is your God, and your people can worship your God. But we worship our God. We cannot worship that God. Mm-hmm. Now, this is your boss. This is your top position. Your name, your money, your life, your everything that you are. You've not only done that, you provoke, you've anchored the devil. And the devil in this man now says, you're finished. Do you know what it means for them to say, okay, we're going to put it 7 times hotter. He did it to the Egyptians, the children of Israel. He said, make it 7 times harder for them. They will stay in Egypt. They like Egypt. They won't go with Moses. Because trials for us is, oh no, just go away. They will stay in Egypt. So, the preaching of the gospel of faith in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was by fire. They took them and threw them in that fire. And God says, I have found faith in the earth. Because faith reveals my glory and my power. Faith that can be tested. Guess what? He says in Isaiah 16, when God reveals his glory like that, he says, kings will come to them. Nebuchadnezzar came and he saw the glory of God. He says, what? Who are these? We put in 3 people. Now we see there's 4. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus says, if you don't deny me, I will never deny you in the front of men.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. I will always be there. So, the king saw the glory of God. Why? Through testing. Through trial. The most hardened king of that generation was broken and fell on his face. I have seen a people whose God is different. If our faith is not tested, why would people believe the God we serve? My brothers and sisters, now I'm on that area. Let's go further. Because God said, without this thing, how do you know I'm in your midst? The Bible says, I don't know if how many of you are aware of this. Read Ezekiel chapter 1. My sister said it here one day here. He was just quoting Ezekiel chapter 1 about the fire. God is an embodiment of fire. The book of Acts, fire came. Everything about God is fire. So wherever God is, even if you don't see him, you know there's fire around him. Amen?
Amen.
So, yes, some a few examples. And we'll start rounding up. It was not only in the days of Daniel. We can't go through the whole Bible. But let's quickly go. Even the disciples. The disciples have been following Jesus. I want you to see that this test is not a test of miracles. It's a test of faith. A test of God. Let me tell you why, the difference. Peter saw Jesus walk on water. He walked on water. They saw the blind eyes open. They saw the lame walk. They saw 5,000 fed. They saw miracles upon miracles upon miracles. They experienced it. They tested it. They were there. They saw everything. The children of Israel saw everything. But God says, I'm going to test your faith. I'm going to take you to the wilderness and see what is in your heart. If you want me or you want something else. God can bless you with all this. But God wants, the decision of faith is your decision. God will never force you. So, after they saw all this, Peter thought following God is words. It's just saying, I love you, I love you. No, it's a nature. It's something that has to be in your heart. So Peter said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you to jail. I'm going to go here with you. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to... And Peter, God said to Peter, I said, you know what? Before the cock crow, you will deny me 3 times. So faith is not based on your zeal. It's not based on this is my nature in you. And you realize. So Peter still was doing all this noise. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like a wheat. Meaning, you are going to be under exam. You are going to be examined. You're going to be tested. He says, my only prayer for you is not that you won't go through the test, but that your faith will not fail. Faith. The only prayer Jesus prayed for Peter was, your faith will not fail. Go and read it. Luke 22, 31 to 30. Faith. As long as you have that thing, God, you will be okay. And Peter found that to be true. He cursed. He denied Jesus 3 times. When he realized it, he says, now I know for sure. Flesh and blood cannot glory in God's presence. Because it was true. But on the day of Pentecost, when faith came, the nature of God came, the life of God came, these ingredients came. He had more persecution, he had more confrontation, he had more opposition. But Peter says, should I fear you or fear God? Never ran from it. Never. He confronted death, crisis, opposition with faith. And he asked for more boldness. Because it's not flesh and blood. It's the character of God. My brothers and sisters, God is looking for faith. That's how he reveals his glory. Trials, tribulations, problems reveal the glory of God. See, why I said Jesus was not, it's not the miracles. Jesus, you see, the children of Israel saw miracles. I would rather have faith, Jesus says, and make it to heaven than to have my 2 eyes and lose heaven. I would rather have faith and make it to heaven than to have my 2 legs. All the miracles, I have all the legs, I have all the eyes, I have everything, and miss heaven. Say, so what shall it profit me if I gain the whole world and I lose my soul to hell? So for me, faith is more precious to God than just all this, do this for me, do it. God will do all those things, but your faith is more pleasing to God. That's why I know there are men and women of faith in this house. Because I see it. I see people who have been believing God for miracles, but their faith is strong. Yeah. Their faith, they worship, they serve God. Yeah. And they say, God, it doesn't matter how long, it doesn't matter what happens.
Hallelujah.
I want my faith, my love for you to be unquestionable.
Jesus.
I want to make it to heaven.
Jesus.
I want my love for you to be priority. My sister might be watching this. The faith has, spiritual life has exploded because she is going through a trial. She is now loving God in a way she's never stepped into before. She is now having fellowship with God. Because I will tell you, she will be singing, she will worship, she will spend time. What she did, she has a relationship with God now. God is going to take that thing just like that. And so, but what was more important to God was faith. Personal conviction that I know him. My brothers, don't compare yourself to anybody but to Jesus. Jesus wants every one of us to be like him. That's why he died. Now, going forward, my brothers and sisters, during the days of Jesus, the Roman Empire was ruling. The disciples came through that. Do you know that during the Roman Empire, there was such darkness? And we'll finish in that direction very soon. There was such darkness, which we're going to define soon, that the darkness, like we said during Christmas, was a manifestation of Satan. What's a manifestation of Satan? An atmosphere that has been created by governments, by the system and culture of the world that is 100% Antichrist. John says the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And it's going to grow. He says the spirit that rejects that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a culture and a system that is programmed to eliminate the awareness of Jesus, the Son of God, in the earth. He's in the world. So during the Roman Empire time, it was so powerful that after the disciples and John has left, Satan took the government of Rome to a level that they started making Christianity a mockery. How are they making a mockery? Oh, you love God? You serve God? Okay, we'll give you to lions. In that generation, that's what I'm saying, it's not about miracles, it's not about healing. There were those that says, I'd rather make it to heaven through the lion's mouth. If you want to kill us, kill us. If you want to give us to lions, give us to lions. But we will never recount our faith. And they turned those Christians who refused to compromise to a circus to entertain the Roman Empire and lions. The Bible says those people have a special place in heaven. You know what? You can never do that if you have not encountered God.
That's right.
Before John left, there were historic accounts. They did everything possible to kill him. He was unkillable. It was counted that they fried him with oil he could not fry. They dragged him, they did everything to him because God has different reasons for different people's testimony. If they want to cut your neck and God says it's time, if it's time, he will take you gloriously. But if it's not time, they can shoot you with machine gun. They can do anything they like. It will work. Because God wants to finish something. They did everything to John. It did not work. That's how dark it was. So they put him and banished him on the island of Patmos. Why? Because God still wanted to reveal something through him. And that's how the book of Revelation came. After that, he could go on. Until your assignment is finished. The Bible says not one of your hair can be destroyed. That's a promise. For those men and women of faith. So after that, you can go on and on. Then Constantine wanted more power. So he took Christianity power and the worldly power, missed it, and became over the church and over the world. So from that moment after he passed, gradually the popes and the hierarchy of government became the Catholic Church. So they mixed government and Catholic and they wanted to rule the whole world. So it was a pollution. And then, because of that pollution, true Christianity just gradually disappeared for hundreds of years. People thought, we are Christians. All of a sudden, until somebody woke up one day and said, Christianity is about faith. And it's about the word of God. Can you imagine the whole universe saying we are Christians, but they are not born again? They are saying we are Christians, and nobody's reading the Bible. We are Christians, the only Bible the people knew was the interpretation of the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Not the Bible, not what God says. It continued, and they call it the Dark Ages. My brothers, it wasn't like there was not a church called church. It was actually church everywhere. But there was no faith. A few people rose up, One of the men, when I saw him on video, when I first came to America, went to the Bible school, the day I saw that video, I said, that's what I'm looking for. It changed my life. His name is John Hoss. There are several of them, but I just want to mention a few. John Hoss. Nobody knew there was darkness. Nobody knew Christianity has disappeared. Because it was just existing, but the ingredients of faith was no more there. John Hoss stood up and started preaching the gospel of faith, that people need to read the Bible. And the Catholic, everybody, the leaders of the church then rose up like the days of Jesus. This Sanhedrin rose up. What did they do? As of that time, they said anybody that talks about the Bible or wants to bring up the Bible or contrary to the book that we use must be roasted at stake. Do you know what that means? Mean you'll be burned alive, like you roast chicken or pigs. Not even killed, roasted at stake. That was the punishment for people who wants to read the Bible. This Bible. John Hoss said he will never recount his faith. The Bible is the way. This, and they roasted him at stake. My brothers and sisters, when somebody sees the true faith, it becomes contagious. While they were roasting John Hoss at stake, Luther and so many other younger ones saw faith. How did he see faith? They've already told this guy, if you recount many, many times, up to when the fire was burning, they told him last time, give it up, compromise, say this is not the way, this way is the way, this is not the way. He says no. They took him, put him on that place. Before they put fire, they asked him once more, recount. This song stuck to me. He started singing, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He started singing that song, and the fire was roasting him. And these young people saw, and he says, any man, just like what happened to Paul and the first martyr, Stephen. Paul saw Stephen, he says, that thing is real, mine is not. That's faith. That's God. We are killing him. We're stoning him. And look at him saying, forgive them. Because they are doing it out of ignorance. Just like Jesus. Somebody that is not afraid of dying for what they believe. That's the glory that turned Paul around. There are some hardened people out there. There are some hardened kings, hardened criminals out there. There are hardened satanic worship out there that are saying, we need to know there's a different God before we can bow to him. Mm-hmm. And it takes tested faith to prove it. Like Paul. That's how Martin Luther, all these people. So Martin Luther rose up. He was a Catholic priest. Like Paul, he's been in that faith for a long time. And one day I was reading, wondering what's going on, and God opened the pages of the Bible and it jumped up to him. The just shall live by faith. What does it mean? It says your Christianity is justified by faith. And he took that one word and started preaching it. And it became one man against an empire of believers, of quote Christianity. One man. Today, through his life, through this faith, that I will keep back again. People went too far to bring the Bible back again for me, up the damage of King James. And immediately they bought it. This Bible was gone. For granted today, you die, you were killed for baptism.
So baptism was not a prescription. They had to hide. That's how the baptism was. And then gradually to this, to all this and this. Actually, it was like Holy Ghost. It was not until the late 80s. My brothers and sisters, miracles can come. Nobody is looking for faith. So if you go on and on and on and Jesus is praying, shall I find faith in the earth? Now you know what I mean by faith. Hebrews 11 says, without it, God cannot be pleased in the earth. First Peter says, the testing of faith is better than gold when it is past this test. In other words, it makes God feel I have something beautiful in the earth. It's a light that shines in darkness. It's the victory that overcomes the culture and the systems of the world. Now, as we're about to conclude, Isaiah 60 says, hallelujah!
Amen.
When you read the scripture, you can interpret it in many ways. But this morning, I want us to look at it this way. Isaiah 60 says, arise, hallelujah, and shine. For the light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall what? Arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And then the what? The Gentiles shall come to thy light. Do you know what he's saying? God is saying in the last days, there will be darkness. Not just darkness, but gross darkness. What does that mean? It means, like I showed you, when we say in the dark ages, during the Catholic and the Orthodox Inquisition, in the dark ages, when we say that, it wasn't talking about electric dark, there was no sun, there was no moon. It meant what was supposed to be Christianity has become a house of Satan. Jesus told the Pharisees, this should be a house of prayer, but you made it a dwelling place for lions, a den of thieves. When the church has lost its light, has lost its salt, and become worldly, now the world is in darkness. What does darkness mean? It means now the world has now given the church its culture. The church has given the world their culture. So Satan now is now in the church and in the world, and there's no difference because there's no faith. So now laws and things are going to be created that are contrary to anybody seeing the light at all. So what happens? God says, my glory will arise if I see faith arise in the earth. Arise and shine. Why? And the glory of God will arise. Why? God says, I'm looking for faith, then my glory will be revealed. Why? Because darkness sets a system for persecution. Darkness sets a system that is contrary to Antichrist's atmosphere. And in an Antichrist atmosphere, the system, the culture, the way of life, the laws will become Antichrist. So if you want to reveal Christ, you will be against everything else. And God is saying, I'm looking for that in the earth. Does it mean there's no church, no building? That's not what God is saying. He says, I'm looking for faith. And faith will reveal my glory in the last day. He says, why? Because there will be tribulation before the church leaves, and then great tribulation. What does that mean? It means the system, the culture, the ways of the world will become so gross, dark, the laws of the land, everything about it will be so antichrist that it will be dark. So anything that reveals God will be under trial, under tribulation. And if you truly start revealing God, God says, then my glory. So what is God saying? What's tribulation? My brothers and sisters, Paul says the last day church that will see the coming of Christ will be spotless. Will be spotless. Will be what? Full of glory. He says a glorious church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what that tells me? If I look at this place now, we're not full of glory. We're not spotless. And Peter says, it takes fire to make it up. So, I'm telling you, the church is going to manifest its glory and its purity and its holiness under trials. And guess what? COVID is the beginning of it. COVID is revealing the heart of all of us. Where is your God? Where? They've already told us to wear masks. We are obeying that. They've told. So what else is closing your church? What else is keeping you from church? They say you can wear masks. Wear it. There's nothing wrong with it. Then all the precautions, let's take it. But why would you stay away from the culture of God? From the commandments, from the ways of God that reveals the glory of God. God says, how beautiful, how pleasant will my children gather. It's not just gathering. He's talking about worship. He says he pleases God so much that he reveals his glory and his blessing. And the devil says, you can't do that. The pressure is okay, we'll put masks on you. But go ahead and do it. You can wear masks, you can stay. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, why this word came. I'll be honest with you. I watched a movie, and somebody said in the movie, these people were survivors because somebody warned them before the thing happened. I will be failing you and failing God if this kind of messages are far from my lips from now on. God is going to filter what is God and what is not God. There's no need to be faking. If you belong to God, Joshua says, serve him. If you don't, make it clear. Don't become a problem. Compromising the word and then making people who are preaching the truth look stupid. God is not looking for numbers. He's looking for faith.
Amen.
And he says they will never forsake you, never leave you, disappointed. It's harvest time. It's shaking time. Harvest time is shaking time. Shaking time is separation time. I never realized that. The purpose of all this shaking is to separate what is of faith and what is. She said it when she was preaching worship. It's to separate. It's God's harvest time. Listen, brothers and sisters, you can't stop God now. God will choose to use any kind of instrument. And he started. He will allow things. So, he's going to use these instruments to reveal his glory, but he's going to use these instruments to separate what is not of faith. And in conclusion, my brothers, I would rather God see if there be any cancer in me and do a surgery and remove it than for me to pretend until the cancer takes over my whole body. If I don't have faith, if I don't really trust God, I say, God, please teach me. Help me to pass this exam. Help me to do what it takes to prepare me. Do what it takes to guide me back in the way, to draw me to you, to keep me with you. But let me not assume I'm a Christian and then miss heaven or miss your purpose. So my brothers and sisters, we are now beginning to enter the beginnings of shaking, the trying times that God is going to use to manifest a glorious, glorious church. Amen?
Amen.
God's glory is going to be revealed. The power of God is going to be seen, but it's going to come through this fire. So I want to encourage you, get in the ark. If you don't know God today, I encourage you to give your life to God. Begin that journey. Listen, just like it was said, the tribulation will start, it will not end until the church leaves. But the tribulation will reveal the glory of God, the power of God. The church, like Noah, is going to rise in the ark. Nothing will stop it. The great tribulation, I pray nobody that hears my voice will wait till that time.
Amen.
This is your time. The world will never be normal again. Never. Because it's going to get darker. But the good news is, the little light now will get brighter. Jesus will get brighter and brighter and brighter.
Amen.
And the world will get darker until the Antichrist comes. So if you're thinking the world is going to get better, no, it's only for those in Christ. You will enjoy Christianity. You will enjoy Jesus. And you will enjoy what it means to be in glory, in provision. God has proven it through history. He will bless those who stand for Him. And this is the time. If you want your life to be more glorious, accept Jesus. The only thing you will lose is flesh. But every other thing you will gain. I hate flesh. Because it's a lie. It's deceptive. Flesh is the product of fall, satanic nature. So why? You say, but I have flesh. It's just a house. I have who I have on the inside. This is my house. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to encourage us. It's time to abide in the ark. Let's no more deceive ourselves. This is the time for us to arise, take a stand for God, and grow. I'm going to be sharing along with you as we enter the season. God is opening my eyes to see the way the church has been put to sleep, the deception that is going on, and all the things that are coming, all these things about that is happening with COVID and all these things coming up with vaccine and all these different things. Once we enter this new year, I'm not just talking to you. These are things that God revealed in the past. They are happening. Now He's going to reveal more. We are going to be on the safe side. We're going to be, it's going to be wonderful. So we're going to be sharing that. For those of you who normally join us online on Mondays, we're not going to air that of tomorrow for some reason. But beginning the new year, we're going to continue. But I pray you're able to join us on New Year's Eve. We'll continue to meet at 7 o'clock. The announcement will come. But join us 31st for our New Year transition. We're already in transition. But God will reveal more to us. I'm excited about the new year. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be glorious.
Amen.
If you're on God's side. God bless you. Kezia, please come and pray for us and just lead us and pray into this and then make the announcement. Thank you. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray together? Arise, shine, for your light has come. Let's sing together. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. One more time. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Father, we thank you this day. We rejoice that darkness never scares you. The Lord, in the midst of gross darkness, which we are beginning to experience, O God, you will cause your people to arise and shine. Thank you, Lord, for this is the season. It's in deep darkness, that light grows brighter. So help us as a people and as a church, that our light will indeed shine, shine bright, shine clear. May all the world see you, Jesus, the light of the world, and you have called us to be light and salt of this earth. Help us, O God. May none of us, my Father, be in darkness. We pray this day for every church, every member of every church, and all of us believers, that you begin to shine your light upon us clearly, O God, that we will arise in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we rise up a mighty army, you will cause darkness to bow in the name of Jesus. Even today, Father, we take authority as your people, and we say, let darkness bow in this nation. Amen. Let darkness bow before us. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give us the strength, O God, to stand for you. Father, we cry out for faith today. We cry out like that man in the Bible that says, I believe, help my unbelief. Increase our faith, O God. Increase our faith, my Father. You said to count it all joy when we pass through trials. But the flesh doesn't like that. And so, Lord, as we go through all kinds of trials, Father, we are saying, take it away. But today, Father, we pray for strength. We pray for the Spirit of the Lord to strengthen believers in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you will release your angels to come and minister to the saints, my God, to help us to make it in the name of Jesus. Father, we shall make it to the very end. None of us shall fall by the wayside in the name of Jesus. We put our hands in the hands of the Lord. Jesus, you did not fail, and we will not fail. So, Father, help us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you brought us through this very difficult year. As we stand this last Sunday of the year, we look back and we say, God, you have been good. Father, you have been faithful. You say, even where we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. And Lord, we look back and we see the enemy would have swallowed us so many times, but you gave us victory again and again and again. Today we can declare we are victorious by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the battles you fought on our behalf. Thank you for the victories you won for us. Thank you for the sicknesses that you healed. Oh God, for the times when we could have been homeless and jobless and without food. But you met us right at those times. Father, for those times, oh God, when fear captivated everybody and you gave us faith. We give you praise this morning. We thank you that you have held us up by yourself. It is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. It is of God that showeth mercy. You have shown us mercy. You have brought us to the last Sunday in the month, in the year 2020. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, for a thousand tongues to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for families. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our youth. Thank you for our marriages. Thank you for our parents. Thank you for our siblings. Thank you, oh God, for our government. That so much has happened, even with the elections. And we are still standing as a nation. How can we say thanks for the things you have done? Things so undeserved. But you did it all the same. You are such a loving God. And today we want to tell you as Mount Zion that we appreciate you. We want to tell you as families and individuals that we love you. We want to tell you as a group that, Lord, we are thankful. Be exalted. Let the heavens be a record. Let creation be a record. Let America be a record. That Mount Zion says, thank you. Thank you, our God. Blessed be your name. Thank you, our Father. And Lord, we will cross over to 2021 in victory, because our hands are in your hands. You will lead us, oh God. You will take us by the hand again and make sure we make it, my Father, by your mercy. It is of your mercies that we are not consumed. And so, Lord, we will make it. And it will be a glorious year. Because, Lord, you are already there. The Bible says Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. And yet, it was just 2,000 years ago that we knew about it, that he came to us. So, Father, you are already in the future. You are already waiting in the future. And because you are there, it is well with us. You say to say to the righteous, it is well. And we declare today, it is well. It is well to everyone in this sanctuary. It is well to all watching us. It is well to our families. It is well with our souls. Because God is on the throne. And because you are on the throne, it is well. Thank you, our Father. We receive this word you have given to us. Father, may we not just hear and go away and forget. Help us to be people of faith. Because you said without faith, it is impossible to please you. Show us, O God, how to live by faith. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your son that you used to bring this word. Father, we call forth a new anointing. As we go into a new year, Father, take him to a height that has not been seen so far. Take him to greater heights, O God. Bless him. Anoint him afresh, O God. Refresh him. Every virtue that has gone out, Father, we ask that you put it back. In the name of Jesus. And you continually place him in a place of victory. In the name of Jesus. You will lead him. You will anoint him. You will clarify his vision. Even for the coming year. We receive that for all of us. Even for your daughters that led us in worship. The opening prayer and your son that will come and pray for us. Father, you have done us well. And we are truly grateful. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. We made it to the end of the year. Greet somebody. Say congratulations. And you will make it again into the year 2021. Hallelujah. It is a good year. The Lord has already gone ahead of us. He has sent his angel ahead of us. And we rejoice.